This is where the DJ talks. Don't say anything.
Okay.
Each of these media creates a new environment. It creates a new situation for human association and human perception. Any medium at all creates a new pattern, a new atmosphere, a new environment of human perception, which works upon the whole man. It works upon the whole society. That is the effect of a medium. It has that total pervasive effect. That is the message that social change that is brought about. The content of the medium is never the message, because the content is always the old medium.
From the vast wilds of the Great White North, for the week of March the 28th, 2016, it's TVA, a Canadian perspective on television from north and south of the 49th parallel. I'm Anthony Marco.
And I'm Greg David.
And we would like to I can't believe I screwed that up after 203 episodes. We would like you to put your television on mute for episode number 203 of TVA, the podcast. I blame Diane Wilde for that screw up.
That's right. She's not here, so it threw us off. We don't have our rhythm.
Yeah, Diane's on sabbatical for this week. Sure, let's call it that. She's on a Monday evening sabbatical. To be fair, we pushed our normal record time a little bit, and she wasn't able to get here for the new record time. But that's just fine. Greg and I get to hang out here and talk about Canadian television for you. And you know what? I'm just saying there may be a couple more flights of fancy that happen this episode, Greg, because
might go off on a tangent.
I think you and I are more tangent prone than Diane is.
I think so.
I won't even say that. I won't even try and dismiss her from the tangent prone. We are more apt to go tangent prone on something totally not related to what we should be talking about.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
she keeps us on track largely.
Exactly. I think if we wandered too far, she'd go, that really doesn't have anything to do with this, though, does it? And it's like,
right.
Yeah, so I don't get why that's a problem. Anyway, we do have a bunch of calendar stuff to talk to you about, and we have the growing list that is becoming this kind of ongoing, for the next little while anyway, evergreen post on the TVA website, the Canadian TV season renewal scorecard for next year. Find out whether your favorite shows are coming back or not.
Or if they're on the bubble.
On the bubble, yes.
As they say.
If they're on the bubble, which the boy in the plastic bubble is living in.
Yes.
Yes, indeed. What a horrible film that was. Anyway, before we get to our calendar this week, it is time to have the beverage update. Greg, this week, without Diane in the mix, between the two of us, it is quite possible that one of us will win. She may still win not being here, to be fair. But we've got a better shot.
Yeah, we do have a better shot, especially because not only am I eating copious amounts of Easter chocolate, which I really should not be eating. I should be pushing it away from me. But if you'll remember the last time we had the news-based podcast, I mentioned how Pommies was going to be sending me a gift. So indeed they did. 2 weekends ago, there was a knock at my front door, and it was a lovely man from Pommies who dropped off a case of 24 cans of Pommies farmhouse cider.
So, like, they actually delivered it themselves?
Yes.
Wow.
Yes. I was expecting maybe a 4-pack.
Yes.
That's some hardcore
marketing right there.
Exactly. So this is the Pommies farmhouse cider, which I actually have not been able to find in my local liquor store. I was very excited to try this. Anthony, it's gluten-free. It's 6% alcohol. It's made with Northern Pride. With Northern Pride, yeah. There's no other, unlike for your bottles of bourbon, there is no kind of in-depth description about this. So it's just made with Northern Pride, and the ingredients are fermented apple juice and sugar, and that's it. Made in lovely Caledon, Ontario. So thank you very much to the Pommies people.
There you go. Wow, that's impressive right there. I feel like free drinks are going to always beat out other drinks.
Yeah, and maybe I'll float a chocolate egg in it at some point.
Yes.
What have you got?
So I'm going real low rent here. So the bourbon that I'm going to talk to you that I'm drinking this week is like not great bourbon.
Okay.
So it's called Old Crow Reserve. So this is a 4-year-old bourbon. I mean, Old Crow is a name that's been around for years and years and years and years. It's basically one of the cheap, if you walk in, you can't find it really in Canada anywhere, but if you walk into a U.S. liquor store, it's one of the cheapest bottles of bourbon you can find, like $12 a bottle.
Okay.
So
yeah,
it is super cheap.
Yeah.
It is not great. Let's just say, you know what? I thought, why even go over the top this week? I don't have to compete with Diane. I don't mind losing to your, I can't beat your free drinks anyway. There's
okay.
No way I can beat that. So I might as well go with the low rent stuff. So, so Old Crow Reserve, which is described on the Whiskey Advocate blog as too sweet and lacks oak notes for balancing complexity. It's acceptable enough as a mixing bourbon or perhaps on the rocks, but I wouldn't drink this neat or with water.
Oh, wow.
Guess how I'm drinking it? I'm drinking it neat.
Ooh. Are you picking up the lack of notes or whatever their description said?
Yeah. Well, I'm picking up a lack of something.
Yeah.
Might be lack of brain cells if I keep going with this.
Oh, no.
We'll see how this goes anyway. But it is cheap. And there you go. Old Crow Reserve. It is a 4-year-old bourbon because it is Old Crow straight bourbon. So if it's called straight bourbon, it has to be 4 years.
Oh, okay.
Yes. You can have bourbon that's 2 years, but then it's not considered straight bourbon.
All right.
I don't know if that's a judgment on its sexual orientation or not. I'm just saying. You were thinking that just as well as I was, Greg David. Okay.
I was.
Anyway, it is time to jump from our beverage update and go straight to the calendars. See? You were ready this time. You knew I was
just
going.
I just did it. Yeah, I just thought I'll just do it.
I'm just going to do it. So so tomorrow night on March the 29th, we have two season finales on CBC. The Rick Mercer Report. How many episodes a season do they do now for Rick Mercer?
I think it's something like, off the top of my head, I don't know.
22 or 23?
Yeah, it's got to be around 22 to 24 a season, yeah.
I do not get the concept of... Now, here's the thing. I mean, they do a lot of... I mean, they've always compared Rick Mercer to, you know, The Daily Show. And it's not The Daily Show. I mean, it's very, very different. I mean, other than the fact that he sits at a desk for what? Maybe like 10 seconds of each show?
Yeah, not long.
Yeah. Like, I mean, and there's sketches and I'm walking in the alley and I'm out here curling with a group from somewhere. Like, that's not The Daily Show.
No, other than there being, you know, the odd time, some timely news. And like you said, the rant. Yeah, the rest of the time he's basically throwing to, you know, him being somewhere in the country, meeting people and doing things. So, yeah, you're right.
And I kind of wish he would be more like The Daily Show. Not because I don't think that what he does is good. It's just because I think Canada needs something like The Daily Show.
Yeah. No, you're right.
Yeah. So something that kind of pokes fun at our media, you know, that kind of stuff. So anyway, so the Rick Mercer season finale and also the Schitt's Creek season finale coming off their huge awards season win a couple of weeks ago. They will be wrapping up the season, and I have to imagine that all of those awards probably will mean that the sales value on streaming services probably go up.
Yeah, and actually they head into production on season 3 in a couple of weeks, so they're getting right back at it again.
For sure. And I'm wondering if they are going to I don't think CBC has done this for a while, but I'm wondering if they're going to fast track the next season. I'm not talking about like a full out fast track, but you know how sometimes you can get like the second season coming in 9 months as opposed to 12 months or something like that because it's such a successful series?
Yeah. And I think because CBC made the announcement that it was coming back, and I think they said it was coming back. I think it's been bumped to the fall, actually, instead of the winter. So I think we're going to see it in September, October. So, yeah, they are. It's certainly like fast tracking it, right?
Yeah, that is. Because, I mean, I think it started in January, didn't it?
Yep, it did. Yeah. It's been a winter show for the first two seasons. Yep.
So there you go. And who knows? I mean, with that, I'm wondering if they're trying to coordinate with a U.S. network.
Well, yeah, they do air on Pop TV down in the U.S., which is the old TV Guide channel. So yeah, for sure.
Yeah, there you go. All right, so that's it for March. But as we jump into April and jump down to later this week. On Friday, April 1st, I don't know if these are true or not. They could be jokes. On YTV, Bruno and Boots.
Yes, and that is, I mean, I grew up reading Gordon Corman's books. I don't know whether you did or not.
I did not.
Okay. So
I'm just glad we have some context for this between the two of us, to be honest with you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. No, I interviewed the two of the guys that, that play the lead characters of Bruno and Boots. And so this was Gordon Corman's, the first in Gordon Corman's books about a bunch of boys going to a school called McDonald Hall. And there was a girls' school across the quadrangle. And it was just kind of the hijinks that the kids all got into. And Adam Barkin, who we've had on the TV ABC's podcast, yep. He adapted the books over to this two-hour TV movie for YTV. And I'm betting that if the ratings are good, and there's no reason to suppose that they won't be, that this will be the first of many of these adaptations of Gordon Corman's books. And they actually filmed this down on McMaster University's campus. So I guess, geographically, I guess it's probably, what, about 15, 20 minutes away from where you are?
Yeah, exactly. And you know what? It's McMaster University has, while they have a lot of new buildings, there are two buildings there from when the university was built that look like your traditional old school university buildings.
Well, that's where they were filming it. Yes. Outside and inside of those two buildings.
Yeah, yeah, those are the two buildings that you could easily have representing any other old school North American college or university. So it wouldn't surprise me if it was there. So it's not a series. So you're saying it's a one-time, one-shot movie.
Yeah, it's for right now. It's a 2 hour or a 90, just over 90 minutes because they've got the commercials, and Peter Callahan is in it as well. A lot of people doing, some comedians, male and female, kind of stepping in. Pat Thornton has a role in it as well. Caroline Ray is in it. Lots of star power for this one.
There you go. Well, that's cool. And if it, like we say, if it kicks off well, and hopefully they can make something more out of it. And, maybe a series of movies, maybe a mini series.
Absolutely.
Because you could sell the mini series to like those streaming services.
That's right. Exactly. That's right. Also, and you could put it in the mini series category for the CSA or the candies.
Yeah. Isn't it like a mini series, convenience store, some other kind of plumbing mart? Kind of all mixed in the same category, isn't it?
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so there you go. Also on Friday the 1st, the debut of Slasher. And if you listened to the TV ABC's podcast last week, you heard Greg moderating the Slasher panel at Toronto's Comic-Con, and had to do some creative audio editing to kind of get everyone's levels up. But it ended up not too bad, so it was pretty good. So I don't know if you had a chance to listen back to that, Greg, but
I did.
Some good info for people if they weren't familiar with the series anyway.
Yeah, and actually right now, if you go to the Super Channel website, I think it's superchannel.ca, they are actually previewing the first episode of Slasher on there for free. So if you don't have Super Channel, that's okay. You can go to the website and check it out for free. And actually, you can sign up and get the first month free of Super Channel and try it out as well. But yeah, Slasher debuts on the 1st. It is created by Aaron Martin, who was a showrunner at Degrassi. For a couple of seasons, and then went on and created a show called The Best Years. He also did writing on the first season of Killjoys. And it's about a young woman who moves back to the small town where she lived as a baby. And when she was born 30 years ago, her parents were slaughtered on Halloween, and she returns to stay in the home that was owned by her parents. And, shockingly, copycat killings start to happen again in the small town. So,
no.
Dean McDermott's in this. Brandon J. McLaren, Wendy Crewson, a lot of Canadians, and Katie McGrath, who starred in Merlin, plays the lead role in this one. And I've seen the first two. And if you're into slasher movies, they're definitely it's a good series. But if you're not into that kind of stuff, don't watch it, or at least watch it with the lights on, because it's gory and it's genuinely scary. It's very well done.
Just to let you know, kids, it's not just a channel. It's a super channel.
It's a super channel.
Remember First Choice?
Yeah, because we had First Choice.
Yes.
And my dad also bought betas. So yes. There's an example. He was never quite Beta had better sound and picture, but it didn't last.
No.
Same thing with First Choice and Super Channel. Yes. We had the one, but everybody watched the other.
Exactly. On April the 4th, the debut of Wynonna Earp. And I remember the last time we really talked, I mean, we talked about this when it first got announced. We talked about this when it first kind of got its distribution deal. We were kind of skeptical by the fact that the only channel that they could get attached to it was CHCH. And then we furthered that little bit of skepticism when we learned about what was happening at CHCH. And we were wondering what the heck was going to be happening with this. But all signs are going forward. First little bits of feedback that I've seen either online and a couple of other places seem to be relatively positive. I haven't seen any of the shows yet, though.
Yeah, very good. They had a session and signing at WonderCon in San Diego over the weekend, and that was very well attended. I've seen the first two episodes. I really enjoyed it. It's a comic book, IDW comic book, written by, and I think his name is Bo Smith. And he wrote it back in the 90s. And now Emily Andress, who most recently worked on Lost Girl as a showrunner, she has adapted it for television. And strong female character, sassy female character. She's fighting demons. Her name's Wynonna Earp. She's the granddaughter of Wyatt Earp. It's really good. It's very well done. There's a lot of action. Like I said, a lot of sarcastic humor. Thankfully, the shakeup at CHCH didn't affect Wynonna Earp. So we're getting all 13 episodes. And I think even if you live in a part of Canada that doesn't get CHCH on television, you'll be able to stream the episodes after the fact on CHCH's website. So we're all good here in Canada.
So is it set current day?
Yeah, it is set current day. Yes, yes. Okay.
So, because I wasn't 100% sure when she, especially when she said that the comics were written in the 90s, I was wondering if they were playing with timelines at all. But
No, okay. It's set in a current timeline, modern day, and she's working for a government agency that was begun by Teddy Roosevelt that fights supernatural beings. Yes, as you do.
As you do. Wednesday, April the 6th is the season finale of X Company, which I believe, if I'm not mistaken, is that part two to the Dieppe storyline?
Yes, it is. Yes. So we've had a week off in between. A little bit unfortunate. That's because CBC is airing some male figure skating out of Boston on Wednesday night. So that's why X Company was bumped. And then we'll be back at it again next week.
Because there's, when you want to get your fix of a historical Dieppe battle, there's nothing you'd rather turn to than male figure skating.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Okay. Well, it's the only sport CBC has besides the Olympics, right?
Well, to be fair, if you believe everything you've heard about the judges, it's just about as scripted as any other show.
That's true. It's a reality show.
Yes. There you go. On Friday the 8th, the return of Paranormal Survivor on TNE, which I believe is Travel and Escape.
Yes, you're absolutely right. And this is exactly what it sounds like. People that have been bothered by paranormal spirits and had strange things happen to them recount their tales fearfully to, while reality cameras.
Sorry, are the tales fearful, or are they just fearful in the recounting of them?
They are fearful in the recounting of the stories. So
someone holds a knife to them and says, "You better tell me that story." Okay, I'll tell you the story.
No, they just quiver and shake, and they're teary-eyed as they tell the stories about things going bump in the night, full of reenactments as well, as you have with most of these paranormal shows, because, of course, you never really capture anything on camera when it's happening.
Does this fall under the travel or escape part of the travel and escape mandate?
I think you're trying to escape from the supernatural things happening. And you're traveling to visit these people that things are happening to.
Okay. Or they travel to visit you from another place?
Yeah, from another dimension.
Okay.
Hey, man, I'm not the CRTC. I'm not handing out these licenses.
Even though it's happening, we probably will end up having a show on the 11th. It's probably worth mentioning the shows in the week after that, because there's at least one really big one that's coming back during that week. And so it's probably worth spending a couple minutes talking about the week of April the 11th. So we do have on the W Network Game of Homes returns, which wasn't the big one I was talking about necessarily.
Okay. Well, and we talked about this during season one, because last season it was in Vancouver, and they gave away a house and moved it from the dock where it was being built to the location. This time around, it's in Ontario. It's, I think it was in like Whitby. Yeah, again, regular people all competing. They're renovating houses, and the best renovated house as voted on by the judges, who include Colin and Justin. The winners will take the house and get it on a plot of land somewhere in southern Ontario.
Well, there you go. And also Emergency Room returns. Not Emergency, the show that I love from the 70s. Rampart 51, Rampart 51. No, it's not that.
No, that's right. This is a reality series based in, I think it's Vancouver General Hospital.
And this is the one that Diane was excited about when it first came out, wasn't it?
No, that was the other
one. Oh, okay, the other one.
Yeah, this is the other one. This is the one that's based, this one's based.
Sorry, relax, Diane. You can drink your rooibos. Just chill for a minute, okay?
She's yelling.
Yeah.
No, that's not the right one.
Peppermint, pineapple, something, rooibos. There has to be a third flavor I'm missing. Papaya. What? Peppermint, pineapple, and papaya rooibos.
Okay, this is the one that's in Vancouver General Hospital.
Okay. So there you go. Yeah. Also on Wednesday the 13th, When Calls the Heart.
Yes.
Returns on not just a channel, but a super channel.
Yes, exactly. Season 3.
Of When Calls the Heart.
Of When Calls the Heart, yes.
And then the big one, that the reason why I wanted to mention it, because I think it's worth mentioning to get people ready for it, on Thursday night, which is a different night for it this year.
Yes.
Orphan Black returns on Space on Thursday the 14th.
Yes, and the big news, actually, is we already had it happening here in Canada, is that Space has announced that they're having an after show called After the Black that will be broadcast following every new episode of Orphan Black. And they just announced at WonderCon over the weekend that BBC Canada, which is the channel in the U.S. that airs Orphan Black, is going to be picking
up. BBC America.
What did I say?
You said BBC Canada.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. BBC America, which broadcasts Orphan Black down there. They have picked up the Space After the Black. So it will be broadcast down there.
And last year, Space did a post Orphan Black show.
Yes.
But it just wasn't it wasn't simulcast anywhere else. It was just dust done on Space.
Yeah, exactly.
I see, and I've always been a fan of those after shows, not cuz I watch them.
Oh,
but,
okay.
But, like, I've watched a couple, but I actually think that for a cable network, a smaller cable network, it's as good programming as you can do to retain your audience is to talk more about the thing that people just tuned in to watch.
Yeah, it's worked really well for AMC because they've been doing it for they did it for Breaking Bad. They've been doing it for The Walking Dead. Yeah. Yep, yeah.
For Walking Dead, they've been doing it for years. I mean,
exactly. Yeah. Bring in the people that were on the key players in that episode and get some in behind the scenes stuff. It's great.
God, it's
cheap
it's,
too.
It's giving Chris Hardwick a new life. I mean,
exactly. It sure is.
Wow. So there you go. I did want to get to that one, even though we'll probably have another episode before the 14th. We did want to let you know that Orphan Black was returning. That kind of moves us on to the elephant post in the room, which is something that could be talked about for the next little while, Greg. It's kind it's one of the simpler posts on the TVA website right now, yet probably one of the posts that has the most consequence behind it, even though it's just made up of three lists right now.
Yeah, I mean, this is something that they do in the States all the time, you know, as the networks start to make their decisions about their renewals and pickups for the coming season, they start to roll out that information. And I thought, hey, we should be doing that with the Canadian stuff as well, seeing as, you know, CBC was kind of the first out of the gate with this with their announcement. So, yeah, if you go to the website, I've got this 2016-17 Canadian TV season renewal scorecard. A long title, long headline for, hey, has your show been renewed? Is your show still awaiting a decision, also known as on the bubble, or is your show not returning?
We got to figure out. We got to figure out a better catch line for that.
What, awaiting a decision? So, well, usually it's on the bubble, but these shows aren't on the bubble. We're just literally waiting for the network to decide whether they're coming back in the 2016-17 season.
I think even though just for rhyming purposes,
okay.
If we consider the awaiting a decision,
okay,
to be unglued, as though the people are being unglued, waiting for the decision.
Oh, okay.
Then I think you could go with renewed, unglued, and screwed.
Oh, Well, sure.
I think
I was a little bit more polite, but yeah, I guess it could be a little bit more blunt.
Yeah, because a couple on the not returning list, I think we're kind of screwed, to be honest with you.
Yeah, okay.
So renewed, unglued, and screwed, which might be the title of this episode, by the way.
I think it should be.
There you go. So anyway, renewed. So let's get rid of the ones that are renewed and the ones that are not returning first.
Okay.
Because some of the renewed ones are expected. I mean, Murdoch Mysteries, Heartland, Mr. D. I would say that Mr. D may have been kind of on the bubble until we heard about it.
Yeah, except that they have that deal with Rogers for the second window broadcast. So I have a feeling that may have come into play again for this season.
Because it is a place for us all.
It is a place for us all. Yeah. Yeah. So I think that that's probably why. They got a renewal. You mentioned Mr. D. Any other surprises for you there? I guess.
Well, Vikings, your favorite show that you never knew was Canadian.
Yes.
Schitt's Creek, Saving Hope. Again, we weren't sure. I don't think.
Yeah, we were. Diane and I kind of thought that it was either going to be Saving Hope or Motive. Either one of those two were going to be renewed.
Right, and so. Rick Mercer, we kind of expected. 22 Minutes, we expected. Hard Rock Medical is good news. I like that because it's a different enough show. And it's one of those shows that I imagine is probably going to be on the bubble every single year. But to see that it's already been announced as renewed, that's good because that allows everybody who's working on it to, you know, set their schedules and get back.
Yeah, they just wrapped production on that up in North Bay. And I guess we had talked about this before, that they'd worked out a deal with the college up in North Bay, where they were going to have the students, the broadcast and television students, helping with everything on set and in the editing suite, so that they were getting a real education into the television industry here in this country. So that obviously had something to do with the decision.
Between has been renewed, Blood and Water, which was one of those shows where I think they wanted it to, I think it was a critical success, and it obviously pulled in enough viewers. Because don't forget that was Omni.
Yes.
And Omni doesn't do a lot of scripted shows.
No.
So I mean, it's good that we got another one back. Dark Matter and Killjoys, I think, because of the niche nature of Canadian sci-fi, I think were probably like they would have had to been total collapses not to be renewed.
Yes.
Because they do have some fan power behind them. Mohawk Girls has been renewed. Sensitive Skin, Letterkenny, Dragon's Den, which I'm hoping just eventually dies off. I'll say it. Still Standing, which conveniently enough for its name.
Still Standing.
It's still standing. Love It or List It, Vancouver.
Yeah, man.
And Masters of Flip, the series that talks about the life and times of Flip Wilson, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. Canadian country singing couple that now they live down in Nashville, and when they're not making records and out on tour, they flip houses.
With Flip Wilson?
No, Flip Wilson's not involved, unfortunately. That would be fantastic. Is he still alive?
I don't think he is.
Okay.
So let's do not returning first.
Yeah. Okay.
So not returning. You know what? I'm going to leave the first one on the list. I'm going to leave it to last because I think that was a shocking one. I'm going to come up from the bottom. Mm-hmm. So Package Deal, neither here nor there for me. I mean, mm-hmm. So it's Haven, we kind of knew about.
Right.
Rookie Blue, we kind of knew about.
Mm-hmm.
Spun Out, we could have guessed.
Mm-hmm.
Just wasn't pulling the numbers in.
No, and Dave Foley's got another show on in the States.
Exactly. Remedy, not too surprising. Open Heart, I don't think there was ever enough buzz about Open Heart, to be honest with you.
No, and it is being broadcast on Netflix outside of Canada now. But yeah, no, you're right. There wasn't a heck of a lot of buzz. No.
Lost Girl. All I'm saying is if the fans would have sent more communications to Diane Wild, then there might have been a chance for that show to survive. And I still think there is, Greg. I still think if people go onto Twitter right now and send as many messages as possible to DEEKAYW, mm-hmm. There's a chance that the show could get renewed. But
I agree.
Yeah. Continuum, we kind of knew that was in its final season in advance.
Mm-hmm.
Blackstone, that I don't think that was a huge surprise, but it's a show that I think could have probably could have probably had a couple more seasons in it.
Yeah, I agree, especially because they were only doing, you know, 6 to 8 episode seasons. So I definitely think they could have gone on. Fingers crossed. I think that they might. There's a good chance that they might do some, you know, a TV movie or two in the future.
Ascension. How many episodes were there of Ascension? Was it only 6?
Yes, it was just 6.
I think I ended up seeing 4 or 5 out of the 6 of them.
Yeah, same with me.
And it kind of lost me. Like,
yep.
I got to the first few episodes, I was like, okay, this is cool, this is cool. And then it kind of took a turn around episode 4 or 5, and that turn was either going to really work for you or not really work for you.
Yep.
And for me, it didn't work.
Yep, no, you're absolutely right. I feel exactly the same way. I thought that it was a really cool twist that they revealed into what was happening, and then it kind of went off the rails.
Yeah. I think we're getting up into the more contentious ones right now. Bitten. Which I think definitely still had some legs to it, but things just didn't seem to work out.
Yes.
I don't know if it was a value proposition cost of doing the show kind of thing, but...
Yes.
I think it's a show that definitely had some legs, and it definitely had a fan base, and I don't know. It's just one of those things where I'm not 100% sure, but it would put it this way. If you would have told me that it was coming back, I would have said, "Oh, that makes sense."
Exactly. Right. Yes, and I would say that it wasn't. I don't think it was a consensus that this one was coming to an end. Well, or for the next three that we're going to talk about. Yeah.
Strange Empire is one of those shows that I don't think a lot of people, considering the ratings, were considering it was going to get renewed. But there were a lot of people hoping that there was some kind of outside chance that it might.
I still read tweets from people down in the U.S. that are just now watching it and saying how fantastic it is and how they can't wait to see a second season, and I have to break the news to them.
Right. Motive. Even though we've kind of known about this for a little bit of time now, like you said earlier, it was probably between Motive or Saving Hope. And the only thing we talked about last episode with Motive is that because it's such a very – it follows a very strict procedural Bible – I'm wondering if that ended up being the reason why, you know, it's just how tough it is to keep coming up with the plots that follow that Bible over and over and over again.
Yeah, I think it could be that. I also think obviously ratings are a big thing, you know, and getting ratings in a certain demographic is important. And also I think what may have hurt them and kind of made it a little bit easier for Bell to make this decision is that ABC wasn't airing the show anymore, and the same thing happened when NBC stopped with The Listener, and CBS to a certain extent stopped with Flashpoint, although Flashpoint went on a lot longer than the other two did. It's just once that American money isn't coming in, I'm not saying that that's the be-all end-all, but it certainly plays a part in that decision-making.
It certainly shouldn't be the be-all end-all, but apparently it's becoming the be-all end-all for some of these shows. So
yeah.
I think the one that took a lot of people by surprise was Candy Award winner Sunnyside.
Yeah, if you're gonna cancel a show, don't do it 2 days after they just won a Canadian Screen Award.
Especially in a category which is difficult to do, seemingly, for Canadians. It's not to say that we're not funny, but it's not easy to get a Canadian comedy series to stick around.
Especially sketch. I think, you know, honestly, I think sketch is some of the hardest stuff to make because, you know, if you go to a club and you're going to see sketch comedy – you know, you kind of feed off that vibe in the room. And I just think it's really hard to kind of translate that vibe to somebody's living room. And I thought that they did a good job on it. And I feel badly because, you know, again, you know, 2 days after they won the award and they were on cloud 9, then they kind of get the rug pulled out from under them.
Yeah.
And believe me, it's not the first show that's ever been canceled that's won a Canadian Screen Award. And it won't be the last one either. It's just the timing was just so bad on this.
Sunnyside would be a fantastic pickup for Netflix.
It would be. Yes, it would be. It would also be a good pickup for Crave TV.
Yes. So I'm just saying, I don't know if we're past that point, but I mean, because it's such a, because of the way that they develop the narratives over the entire course of the episodes, it is not a thing that where you have to be uniquely Canadian to watch and appreciate the humor in that show.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's get up to our On the Bubble section, or what I'm calling the Unglued section.
Yes.
Let's start at the bottom again for no particular reason. 19-2, a show that we would expect would be returned, huge critical acclaim. Plus, I haven't been following the ratings, but I'm assuming they're pretty good. I mean, probably the best that Bravo has anyway.
Yeah. And they just won the best drama at the best drama candy. And I just want to make a quick note. Now, this is for the 2016-2017 broadcast season. We're still waiting for 19-2 to come back for season 3 sometime this spring.
Right.
So for all these people that are wondering, we're talking next fall through next winter.
Now, are we also talking, this is 19-2, I mean, we're talking specifically the Bravo English iteration.
Yes.
And we're not talking at all the Radio Canada iteration.
That's right.
Or is it even Radio Canada? It's not, is it?
It is. Yep.
Is it? Okay.
Yep.
So there
yep.
you go. Fool Canada.
Yeah, the Will Sasso.
Okay.
What is it? Hidden Camera.
And I didn't even, I remember talking about it when it first came out. I didn't hear much buzz about the show at all.
No, the big buzz was that it was Will Sasso was yeah. attached to it, and there was a big lead up to it, and then you didn't hear anything about it after it was broadcast.
Unless this show costs a negative amount of money to make, I can't imagine it coming back.
Right, right.
Young Drunk Punk, which I think just finished, what, season 2?
Nope, just season one.
It was just season one?
Yeah, because...
But they did the split season.
Exactly. Yeah. What they did was the double window. So yeah, the first window was Rogers on City, and the second window was CBC.
A Place for Us All.
Yeah. But maybe not for Young Drunk Punk.
But a fun show, a good show, but very niche.
Yes.
Very niche, as you would expect a lot of stuff by Bruce McCullough to be, because, I mean, it's a very particular sense of humor. I enjoyed the show when I watched it, but... I could see where a lot of people would just look at it and go, I don't understand this.
Right.
And Canada's Smartest Person. I can't imagine that they're not going to be renewing Amazing Race Canada.
No, me neither. Now they're
with
they're,
the numbers that it gets.
Yeah, and it's a foregone conclusion. I mean, unless somebody all of a sudden decides they don't want to make it anymore, it's crazy.
I mean, what was the fake award that it won?
It was a Golden Screen Award for reality.
The Golden Screen Award for the highest ratings.
Yeah. So it'll be back this summer. They're filming it right now, but we don't have word on next year yet.
Right. Okay.
Same thing with Big Brother Canada, which is on this list. It's being broadcast right now. I would be shocked if it didn't come back next year. We just haven't heard word yet.
Okay. The Romeo Section, which I think did very disappointing in terms of ratings, but it was a show that was pretty well liked and critically well liked and had a pretty good fan base too.
Yeah, and I think Diane, I know I don't want to speak for her, but I think we kind of came to the same conclusion when we started watching the Romeo Section. It wasn't exactly what I thought it was going to be. It ended up being a lot more, and this is going to sound... I don't know what this is going to sound. I don't mean to be insulting, but it was a little bit more highbrow than I thought it was going to be. It was a little bit, there was a lot of talking and not a lot of doing, a lot of action. And so I just felt like, see, here's the thing with Chris Haddock. I kind of think that he's a little bit like David Milch.
Right.
Or just kind of that ilk where, you know, he has a very creative mind. And I think that, you know, CBC probably gave him carte blanche to make the show that he wanted to make. And I think that he made something that was quite critically acclaimed. There are a lot of people that like it, but just wasn't maybe as accessible to the larger audience and certainly not the larger audience that CBC was hoping for, which is too bad. I mean, that's going to happen, but it was too bad.
And it's weird because it's one of those shows where if you're going to go quote unquote cerebral, let's say, for lack of a better phrase,
term than what I said. Yeah.
You got to dance the line between being too cerebral for what the expectations are, which is kind of what you're painting, but then also being maybe not cerebral enough for the people who like cerebral shows.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
Because like there are some shows that you know, Milch was attached to, and there are some shows that like other showrunners, writers have been attached to where you want the weird. Like,
yes.
Give me the weird, give me the dialogue, give me the stuff. I mean, the show that I always go back to, which I absolutely loved, was John from Cincinnati.
Right.
On HBO. Like, totally bizarre, almost incomprehensible, and I loved every minute of it.
Right, right.
Yes. So, This Life, which, again, I really enjoyed. I thought it was pretty unique. I didn't watch the full season of it, but I watched a few episodes of it, and the episodes I watched I liked. It didn't quite keep me on, but... This is just, you know what, this life to me, if you ask me to describe it, it's a good show. Like, it's a good show. Like, plain and simple, it's a good show.
Yes, and again, I think we talked about this before. The marketing behind it, I don't think was as focused as it should have been. It just made it seem as though it was a family drama, which of course it is, but it had a lot more to do with just that. You know, you had a cancer storyline, you had an infidelity storyline, you had teens struggling to fit in storylines. Yeah. You know, there's a lot going on in that show. You know, an adaptation of the Radio Canada show, yeah. A Nouvelle Address. And yeah, just, you know, kind of came out of the gate and just didn't perform, unfortunately. Yeah. And, you know, I think if there was a show on this list that I think, you know, ends up maybe being in the not returning column, it might end up being This Life out of all these CBC ones we're waiting on.
It's a show that could easily use more time to develop.
Yes.
It could use more time to develop. Whether it's going to get more time is a different issue. So.
Yeah, and you know, it all depends on what CBC's got in their you know, in their stable and what they're planning. So, you know, don't take what I'm saying right now on, you know, Monday, March the 28th as gospel. Yeah. I could be in for a very nice surprise in the next couple of weeks.
And the last one on the list, which we would be very shocked if it didn't get renewed, is X Company.
Yeah, I would be very upset.
And I'm guessing they're just waiting for the season finale to happen before we hear about that.
Yeah. CBC announced that they're going to be doing their upfront presentation in May. So I know that we're going to be getting an announcement in the next couple of weeks regarding these shows that are still in the bubble. I would be shocked if X Company wasn't on the list of renewals. And from the people that I'm speaking to, kind of behind the scenes, there's definitely a cautious optimism. And if they do get renewed, they need to get going quickly. They need to get in the writer's room and get breaking these scripts because they film, they do production roles in the summer in Hungary, so they need to get going on it.
Yeah. So there you go, folks. Our renewed, unglued, and screwed. I actually think renewed, screwed, and unglued is better, but, you know, I'll flip around. We'll figure that out.
Okay. We'll work on that.
It'll be the title of the show. That's all I'm saying. For no other reason. Because, I mean, I can't use Hardwood and Wicked Beaver again. So,
No.
Actually, I could. Diane's not here. I could probably call it, you know, Hard Beaver and Wicked Wood or something like that, but that would be a different thing altogether. Jeez, isn't it amazing, Greg, how even just the two of us can milk almost 50 minutes out of
it is
out of talking chalking from a list, essentially. Anyway, you are listening to the TVA podcast, folks, episode number 203. Please feel free, you know, if you look over at the side of the page, there's a Patreon, or on every post, I think, for the podcast, there's a Patreon link. There are two different Patreons, which, if you're not familiar with Patreon, it's just a way to crowdfund the work that people are doing either on the site or on the podcast. So there are two of them. There's one for the blog, the website itself, which is patreon.com/TVEH, and there's one patreon.com/TV_EH. The TVEH is for the website. The TV_EH is for the podcast. If you want to give to both of them, we'd be happy with that.
Sure.
You know, we're completely fine with that. So feel free to do so if you'd like to help us out. You can always listen to these podcasts for free. You can always go to the website and get content for free there. But, you know, you might just say, hey, it's worth it to me once a month or so to kick a couple of bucks over to these people who are doing this fine work for Canadian television. Because there aren't a lot of people who are doing it. Just saying. Greg knows.
I know. There's Believe not a, me.
You know, I mean, other than fan sites talking about one show here or one show there, or, you know, the occasional article in a newspaper, I would dare say there's more content on the TVA website about Canadian television than any other place in the country right now.
Yes, I would like to think so.
Yeah, there you go. Greg, where can people find you when you're not here recording the podcast once every couple of weeks?
Well, I am a partner at the aforementioned TVA.com, which is TV-EH.com. I'm also manning, along with Diane, the TVA Twitter account, which is @TV_EH, or I'm over at my own Twitter account, which is Greg_David. How about you, Anthony? Where can we find you?
You can find all the podcasts that I do at anthonymarco.com. Find me on Twitter @AnthonyMarco. If you're interested, find my the latest episode of the other television podcast I do, Best Episode Ever, which is about retro television, at bestepisodeever.com, where this episode we have talked about horrible made-for-television movies of the 1970s.
Do you want to mention the three?
So one, which I kind of mentioned a little bit earlier, was The Boy in the Plastic Bubble.
Yeah.
The other one was Invitation to Hell, which was a Wes Craven joint.
Oh.
It was a horrible
film. I never heard of that. Wow, okay.
Susan Lucci plays the devil.
Oh, no. Okay.
Starring Robert Urich and Joe Regalbuto.
Oh, my goodness.
And the third one that we did this week was it Return From? I think it was Return From or Return to Gilligan's Island.
Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Yes. So, okay. Wow. Sorry, Rescue. Rescue from Gilligan's Island. That's it.
Oh, okay. Okay.
So there you go, folks. If you want to, if you like retro television, and it's not that we don't do Canadian shows on there. We sometimes do, but we a lot of our influences were from the U.S. growing up. So for television shows from mostly the 70s and 80s, but sometimes we reach back further than that. Please feel free to go to bestepisodeever.com and listen there if you wish. And the nice thing is none of those shows are putting out any new episodes. So
no, it's evergreen.
They're evergreen. They're all fresh. That's about it. Anything to throw in? It's not even close to the Ides of anything right now. Just
no, it's not. There's no palindrome or anything like that. No.
No, exactly. I don't know. Anyway, Diane's not sick. We hope she comes back from her her sabbatical, well rested. I think she was on a vacation recently, so I think she's been doing some trip in the light, fantastic around the continent or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So there you go. That wraps up another episode for this week, folks. And now back to your regularly scheduled programming.